bless each one. Open up your Bibles if you have yours. Matthew chapter 13. Appreciate the sister tonight. Matthew 13. Let's go down to verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. But in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. I want to continue on the thought of the original returning, but just take it a little different way here. What I'm most thankful for. Let me say that one time. What I'm most thankful for. Let's bow our heads together. Every eye closed, bow your heads, please, tonight. I feel that little bit of that spirit needs to leave here tonight. We need to get into the Holy Spirit. You're thinking about too much of going on the outside world. Let's go ahead right now as a group of believers and cast this thing out of this place so we can have a good service in God's presence. You go ahead and start worshiping here, and we'll start praying in a second. Thank you, Father. You feel the difference already. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints together tonight. You said where two or three would gather together that you'd be here amongst us, Lord, and we believe that. But Lord, we don't want to just have you invited. We want to welcome you, Father, with our praise. Welcome you with our hearts. Welcome you more than anything in this time with thanksgiving, knowing how much you've done for us, how much you do for us, how much you will do for us, Lord. We just have too much to even comprehend how thankful we ought to be. But Lord, we're here to do the best we can to raise our hands, to raise our voices, and raise our hearts to you and tell you tonight how much we appreciate you, Father. As we come into your presence, Lord, we want to receive from your word. I pray, Lord, that you take my lips and you speak through them tonight, that you'd open up our hearts, Lord, and the word might come and quicken, Lord, more of that life and push more of the devil out of the way, Father. If there's anyone here that's sick, may they leave today well. If there's any afflicted, Satan, you're exposed. Quit afflicting the children of God in the name of Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here that's empty tonight, Lord, may you come and just fill our cup to overflowing. We ask it all to be so in the lovely name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Try to take not too much of your time tonight, you know. A lot of times in churches anymore, it's holidays, we kind of treat church like a job. And, you know, you get the holidays off most time, you know. And I'm sorry, but I don't know. I don't look at church that way. Church is a privilege as far as I'm concerned. I have to go to work. I don't have to go to church now, but there's something in me. I just don't have no way to stay out of the place because I just love being where God told me to be. And that's what's great as a believer. You got a revelation of that. You always should be in the house of God. Any opportunity you can, that's the number one place to be. Isn't that right? And it makes it a lot easier if we'll just make the word our absolute. How many sees a day approaching, end of the world? Well, you know what the Bible told you to do, to come together the more. And I think, or I'm glad to see those here tonight that were able to do that. You know, like I said, most people I don't know, don't have church for Thanksgiving or Christmas and things like that. To me, that's the main time to have it. You know, where else you want to show God you're thankful for than at church? You know, amen. Praise his name. I'm thankful tonight for what he's done for me. We're going to settle on at home tonight. Is that? I've got a hometown kind of message for you tonight. But what I'm most thankful for, you know, God has done so many things that even when we were praying here earlier, you can't even comprehend. You can't even list everything that God is doing for us and how much we ought to appreciate it. Sure. How many's got a good breath of fresh air right now? Where'd that come from? How many's got lungs to breathe that air in? How many's got a heart beating so you don't pass out on the ground right now? How many's got a mind that you can think and understand what Brother Andrew's saying? Sure. See, we've got, and that's just, we're barely even scratching the surface, and there's one reason we have all those things. That's God. Huh. And I'm thankful for all that, aren't you? I'm thankful for everything God does for me. That's something we've lost in this age. And then the Bible told us they would, that they would be unthankful. And that's where you find a lot of people can't find joy. They won't just have a little bit of thanks for what they do have. And all they got to do is whine about what they don't have. Amen. Or what they think they don't have that's in their house right now. Amen. All you got to do is listen to the devil. And I don't care how blessed you are. The devil can make it look like a curse. Right. If you'll listen to him too long. You got a nice loving husband? Well, maybe. Except for last week, you know. The devil turned that blessing into a curse, won't he? You got lovely children? Well, until I got to take care of business. No, they're still your lovely That's children. Right. You're still blessed from God. And the Bible said a man, you know, blessed has got his quiver full of children. Amen. And I'm thankful for all those things. But what am I most thankful for? And it's a difficult question, isn't it? When you really start to break it down, what could I thank God for the most? In the denominational world, I think that they would come up with an answer, and I hope I'm not being sacrilegious by any means here. I just want you to understand when we get where we're going here in a minute. But they would point to one thing, and I don't blame them for the revelation they have, but hope you understand me tonight, to Calvary. And there's no expression more that can show more love than what Calvary was. To show what it was really all about. You had a righteous God standing. We know He was there. The Father was very aware of what was going on. Sure. And so was the devil, and the court case was coming. Right. God, you have to judge these bunch of sinners. That's what the devil says. And you know what? He's still trying to do that right now because he's still the accuser of the brethren. And he stands there, and we know that the trial's going on, and he's got all this evidence, doesn't he, about what you do wrong. What you have done wrong. How you've crossed too far. Amen. Sure. And he'll point right to the Word of God and say, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. Uh-huh. God, I didn't say this, you did. The devil, we think he comes with a pitchfork and just real obvious and things, but that's not the way the devil works when you're a child of God. If you're already out there, you're already on his side, he'll put you in all kinds of torments and nonsense and all that. But when you're a Christian, he knows not to come at you that way because you identify him pretty quick like that.
Sure.
But what he likes to do is to take the thing that you're trying to rest your soul on and twist it and make it what's condemning you to hell.
Yeah.
The same flood that saved Noah is the same flood that destroyed the earth. It just depended where you were. And that's where we've got to find ourselves. Where are we? Where are we in this whole situation? So God's standing there as a judge. The devil's on the one side as an attorney, telling everything you've done wrong, and he's got a good case. At least he does for Brother Andrew. I'll tell you that right now. He's got plenty of evidence to condemn me to hell. But then there's something that happened. The devil didn't see this coming because the devil stood there. We understand that the book was sealed and no man could look at it.
Right.
So the devil wasn't too worried. Uh-huh. Looked around and said, I've got Moses over here. I got his list. I've got David. I've got them all. But he didn't realize that there was one man who could still do something about it because he was standing behind the gavel. And the judge decided, you know what? I could condemn him. How many knows he could? But yet there was something moved him. It's that little four-letter word, which we call love. A force we never even understand. I don't even want to. Let's just accept it. Can we just accept the love of God instead of trying to reason with it and say, well, God, if I do this much good, then you'll love me? It had nothing to do with that. He loves you unconditional. And before we asked him to do anything, the judge that was on the throne stood up and manifested himself in flesh and took part of the other attorney. Again, I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but the case was rigged the whole time because the judge was the attorney. And if your attorney's the judge, I'm pretty sure you're going to come out okay. And that judge knew what needed to be done. Somebody had to die.
Right.
And not just anyone. It had to be someone righteous. Yeah. It had to be somebody that wasn't guilty themselves. And there was only one man that could do it. That's when God made himself a man. And he came on earth, as we're painting the picture tonight. He came on earth and there was the great judgment seat. How many knows that the mercy seat and the judgment seat are the same place? It just depends where you're at.
Right, amen.
They could look right there at the cross and the same ones that were killing him, that was their judgment that God would condemn them for.
Right.
You killed the Son of God.
Right.
But on the other side of eternity, there was a group of people who had their hands raised,
right,
who were shouting for joy because redemption had come.
Right.
They could see what it was that the blood was being spilled on. And when that blood came into the courtroom of God, oh, thank you, Jesus. It took that whole document that the devil had and just stained it all red.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't see nothing on it no more. And when you put red sin on red blood, you get one thing, pure, clean, white.
Yeah.
How many believe that tonight?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We ought to, oh my, if you're not thankful for Calvary, there's something wrong with your experience. Because if you got the victory in Christ without Calvary, you didn't get it. You deceived somewhere. If you were good enough to get the Holy Ghost, you never got it.
Right.
If you were good enough to get saved, you still lost.
Uh-huh.
If you deserve to be healed anytime you feel like, I'm here to break it, tell you there's something wrong in your experience somewhere. We are saved, healed, filled, all by the grace of God, undeserving grace.
Amen.
But, let me ask you something. What good does the blood of Christ do to the unbeliever? What is the thing I'm most thankful for? The blood that came saves the whole world. Yet souls are still going to hell every day. The same blood that was able to speak when Abel was dead spoke judgment on Cain that was still alive.
That's right.
The blood, as we know, the Bible says, wasn't just shed even for just the saints. The Bible said it was shed for the sins of the whole world.
Right.
Every single one of them. God paid for it all. And that's why I believe children, they will go to heaven if they would happen to pass, because the blood made an atonement for them. Yes, they were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come in the world speaking lies, part of the original curse like any other human being that's been here since Adam and Eve.
Right.
But the blood paid for that. And since they haven't had the ability to reject it, see, that's what it is. That's all it is. What am I most thankful for? And I'm going to have to get there a little bit. I'm just going to go. I'm thankful that God put something in me that I could believe the word, that I could receive the word, that the blood wasn't just something I could live without. It was something I had to get into. Why? Because God had placed something in my soul before the foundation of the world, and he declared my name, even if it came in Laodicea in the midst of darkness, that name must be proclaimed. And here I stand now as an attribute of God, and you better have the same faith or you're not getting out of here. There's none other going to make it. You have to know that you've had something deposited in your soul and you didn't have nothing to do with it. But by grace, the God of all creation put it in you. And when you heard the blood cry, it wasn't judgment. You heard the right call.
Right.
It did the right thing.
Exactly.
How? Because God gave it to you.
Yes, he did.
I've looked at this, and you find me something else. But anytime you see a blessing from God, anytime you see deliverance, it's because God gave it.
Amen.
You won't find nobody buying it. They'll try. But unless you've already got it, you can't get it.
Amen.
Isn't that what we just read there? Let's read it one more time here. Matthew 13. And the disciples came unto him and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, see, you understand it now? You have to have something in you already.
Yeah.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, But he shall have more abundance. Oh, can we just lay on that for a little while? We're not here just to scrape by. We're not here just to barely even get a smile out of us. We are here to have abundance. We're here that when we're sick, we don't lay down and say, well, devil got me this time. But we've got something in us. We've got something that was given to us that raises our hands up and say, though he slay me, yet I trust him. Praise the living God. It's still a good day. When all hell breaks loose all over the place, all around us, as it has, how many believes that? We are living in the midst of what hell is. And that's the problem, is it's so delusional what people think, but it's coming right here and seeping in every corner. But at the same time, oh my, there's a glorious light that's taken, and it's shining all over. Well, what am I thankful for? I've got something. I've got a life that can receive that sunlight. Yeah. And it doesn't just lay dormant, but it increases. Yeah. And it's abundant.
Sure.
Oh, I'm not just scraping by. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Full, not half glory. I'm full of glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Going to have church tonight anyhow, aren't we? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So look, there's people who think they have things. And many people have been in this message, thought they had the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thought they had an experience with God. Thought they knew what it meant to serve God. But when you broke it down, and here we are, as the pyramid comes to a close, as it comes to the headstone, to where it'll fit just with one person coming down.
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
It'll be so few. The Bible already said that. And it's not something God wants, it's not something we want, but it's the truth. God already counted.
Right.
He knows. He knows how many there is. I'm glad I'm one of them.
Amen.
I'm glad you all are, because I believe you got the same faith I do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But they thought they had something. And many men have even come behind the pulpit and preached this message 30, 40 years. Thought they had something. But when push came to shove and the devil began to tempt and to reason, and to say, well, I know Brother Branham said, but. Well, right then, he's got you. I know the Bible says that, but you're done. Look, the Bible never commands us to reason in that way at all. There's only one person you're supposed to even reason with. That's God. Come unto me and reason with me, saith the Lord, right? But we go and we let the devil talk us into stuff. And any Christian that's honest with himself, if you've really got the Holy Ghost, that's the only way you ever lose a battle. Ever.
Amen.
As you decide, you know what, devil? I don't sound half bad. Let's go with that for a little bit.
Right.
Not knowing, you think we learned the first 1,000 times we did that.
Right.
But we still do it, don't we? Oh, you can do this just for 5 minutes. It'll be over.
Sure.
5 hours later? What are you doing? You just look at yourself. You get up. You look in the mirror. God, why are you wasting time with me? It ain't God's fault. It ain't the Holy Ghost's fault. He can totally take care of that problem.
Right.
It's our fault.
Amen.
And that's the only person you're going to find in the last days that takes a personal accountability. That's the bride of Christ. Everybody else has got excuses.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because they're not faithful.
Sorry.
They've got nothing to be happy about. So instead of realizing that it's their own fault, they just decide, well, we'll blame this person. We'll blame that one. Those that sat in the message. Come on now.
Yeah.
Thought they had something, but then they, well, nobody loves me here.
Amen.
Nobody calls me. Nobody cares about me. Amen. When I go through a hard time, I just have to go all by myself. If you've got something, that don't matter.
Amen.
You can do this by yourself.
Right.
Why? Because you and God's the majority.
Yeah.
See, God help us to get our priorities straight.
Amen.
And that's when you see people begin to miss church. Come on now. Begin to quit reading their Bibles. Begin to quit listening to tapes. Listen to your vision's been skewed somewhere because you don't remember where you came from.
Right.
Because you're trying to head back there slowly but surely. And the devil don't just sneak it. He don't just come ramming in. He sneaks it in one step at a time. It's just one service. Some logical reason not to be there. Before you know it, you can get out of it anytime. Oh man. Oh, kind of little crank in my back. I don't think I make it. But I'll go work all day in my yard, right? Yeah, that's right. I'm thankful tonight. And I ain't saying none of this to brag. I hope you understand me. I'm just thankful to God for what he's done. I'm thankful for what he put in me, a desire to serve him. A desire that And we all got our temptations. I hope that's okay. I ain't trying to pick on somebody that misses church or anything. Because it's hard for me. It's hard for me to relate to that because I can't count on my hand how many times I miss church. I can't count on my hand how many times I miss work or anything. It's just, maybe I'm just built that way. I understand. But I know my love and my heart is why I'm here. It's not just some checklist. I'm not working for God like a servant. I love Him. And if you're really in love, you'll be thankful.
Sure.
Amen. Revelation 3. Let's turn there. Praise His name. Revelation 3. Let's just read this together. Let's read about Laodicea down there, 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And at this point, the condition of the church looks absolutely helpless. It doesn't look like anything can be done about this. You are wretched. You are poor. You are blind. And not only that, but you've deceived yourself into thinking you're none of these things. And how in the world can anybody talk with you if you're deceiving yourself? I warn you, Christian, this is the devil's main tactic right here. He will always come in this way to get you to talk yourself out of what you know is the Word of God. You're not ignorant anymore. There was a day we could have said we were ignorant. God didn't know no different. Not this day. Oh my, we've got the answer to the devil's question. It's been given to us. And I've read quotes and things, and you can take this for what you want. But Brother Brown was saying it spoke words of original seed, that the seed was planted back then. It needed the latter rain to come. And I believe when the seals were open, that rain began to fall. And it was put on those tapes, and it's still there. If you'll receive it, it'll quicken you with unchangeable power. Unstoppable. Why? But what are we doing with it? Are we really thankful? How do you know you're thankful? You'll listen.
Amen.
You'll go push play. You'll go get a book and read it. It doesn't just collect dust in your room or on your shelf or on your computer. It's not that file that has zero hits and your internet's got 10 million. All right, God help us. That's the way. And that's when you know, I need to repent. When you realize that. When you realize, whoa, when's the last time I heard a tape? Not just playing in the room either. Well, I was actually listening to what was going on. And it's good, and I'm not condemning that. If you ain't home, play tapes in your house. What else you want playing in there? And play something godly and things. I believe we create an atmosphere and all that. But the atmosphere is supposed to lead to something.
Amen.
We're not just creating an atmosphere just to feel good about it. Right. It's supposed to produce something.
Right.
That's why we come to church. Because God ordained this, that our lick and fire comes together. It sets an atmosphere for God to do special things that He would do in church that He necessarily wouldn't do at our own houses.
Right.
All right, not any greater or less. It's just the way God ordained it, and we ought to just say amen and say, Lord, we believe it, and we're going to use it for your glory.
Amen.
When we come to the house of God, I'm not bringing in my baggage. I'm going to get it in the blood of Christ. I'm going to come in here faithful. Lord, if you want to use me, I'm here to be used. If you want me to bless someone else, you want me to pray for somebody, you want me to receive your word and just say hallelujah to create a good atmosphere for somebody else to know that God's here,
amen.
I'll do it.
Amen.
He that's faithful a little will be faithful with much.
Amen.
That's how you know you're really going to get anything from God. If you can literally do something and know that nobody knows about it and that don't bother you,
right. You're
on the right track.
Amen.
But if you got to just kind of figure out, somehow, maybe I'll put it on Facebook. Maybe I'll text it to this one person, you know, and pretend it's just kind of a secret between us, but they'll probably blab it to somebody else.
Sure.
You've already received your reward according to the Bible. Why? You're not being thankful.
Right.
You're not thankful. Look, I'm thankful that God can use me to help somebody else. Isn't that? What more do you want, especially as a father? Would you rather be blessed or your children?
Amen.
Well, you ain't much of a father if you think of you because you're selfish.
Right.
And it's hard to say you got eternal life with a selfish spirit because eternal life is living for others.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So here we are. Man, you all getting a free sermon. Got the Laodicean church here, and we all living right here in the midst of this muck. It ain't no cold, no hot. It's all gray, nasty garbage everywhere. And then God says this in verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. How in the world are you going to buy this gold? How are you going to get it? You know why? You have to already have it. You can't purchase something if you don't have the ability to purchase with. But God has invested something in us.
Amen.
What is gold anyhow? It's divinity. It's the divine nature. It's been put into us at 2 Peter chapter 1, according as his riches have given us his divine nature.
Amen.
And it was put in us. And when we begin to realize what condition we're in, how do you buy from God? Listen to me now. Get in his presence.
Amen.
Get into where the Holy Spirit is able to come and to quicken that thing that's in you. That thing that you have can give abundance. Come buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. If you bring all that together, that's getting the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And no more complicated than that. Get the Holy Ghost. Why? The Holy Ghost is God's nature in you.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is the new garment that was required to be in the house.
Yes.
There was that white garment that was on the saints, and those that snuck in the window and didn't have it on got kicked out, but not you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you're there.
Amen.
You're in the house. You've got the white garment
Amen.
On. How can you see? He just said it there before when we read it in Matthew 13. It's given to you to know the mysteries.
Yes.
But it's not given to them that they hear it, they see it, but they can't believe it. But you hear it. And you say amen.
Amen.
You see it and you say glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Proving that your eyes can see.
Right.
The Holy Ghost has pulled the scales away, hasn't he?
Right.
Just like he did Paul back there when he was, my, I spit on my own glasses. How in the world did I do that? Man, I'm sorry. But even Paul himself, you know, we know he was very zealous and things, but he was on the wrong road. He wasn't listening to the right voice. He was long off the word for his day. But when the pillar of fire came, knocked him off his high horse and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus.
Amen.
And Paul said, Amen.
Yeah.
But we know what happened. That light was so real to Paul that it actually blinded him.
Uh-huh.
And he went down, and we know down down the next town there. He was sitting there, I can't remember who with now. You all forgive me. But then the Holy Spirit began to work on both ends.
Yeah.
There was a prophet around who could see, or a man who could see visions at least, and Ananias. And the Lord came to Ananias. How many knows the story?
Mm-hmm.
Came to Ananias and said, Hey, I got something for you to go do. You know that Saul guy? Oh, Lord. Whew. We know about him. He's on the most wanted Christians list.
Uh-huh.
He's on the prayer for judgment list.
Oh, my.
I'm sure it happened somewhere.
Uh-huh.
He said, My Lord, he's like, Well, here's what I want you to do, Ananias. I want you to go down there and give him the Holy Ghost. I'm sure, Lord. It's literally what happened, okay? This is a man serving God.
Yes, sir.
You tell me that we don't reason sometimes? Yeah, but look, who was he reasoning with? He never got condemned for this because he reasoned with God. God don't mind talking to you about it. That's all right. If you got questions, go talk to God. Quit talking to the devil and let him give you any old interpretation that he wants to give you and wondering why you're depressed and why you're angry and why you're sinning because you're listening to the wrong thing. Go listen to the Word.
Amen.
Go reason with the Word and take your thought and throw it in the trash and keep the Word.
Amen.
And the Word came and said, go down there and get Saul converted for me because I'm going to give him the Holy Ghost. But he needs. But look, remember, the life has to go through the body. How many knows that?
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham says that. The angel could not give him life. The angel that even came to Ananias to tell him these things, that couldn't give him life. Ananias had to get down there.
Right.
Because Ananias had life.
Uh-huh.
And that means he could give it.
Right.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. And he went down there. He finally said, All right, Lord, we'll do it. And he went down there and Saul was there blind. But the second Ananias showed up with the word of the Lord, things changed. That I'm here, Saul, for a few reasons. First, yeah, we'll get your sight back. But that ain't what we're really thankful for tonight.
Amen.
We're here so you can wash away your sins.
Right.
And be renewed and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And he went down there, as we know, and baptized Saul. And he came up Paul.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Paul noticed this. What was he most thankful for? Is that he was the chief of sinners, yet the grace of God still found him.
Amen.
And that's the way we ought to be. There's many times in the Bible people aren't thankful for the Word of God. It goes to show they never wanted to hear it in the first place because there was something wrong within them. There wasn't something in there to receive the Word.
Amen.
You might know this story. Let me just read it if you got some time. Back in Jeremiah, if you read the book of Jeremiah, you better be in the Spirit. You're going to leave depressed. Because there ain't nothing go right in the book of Jeremiah. Everything's going wrong. But the Word of the Lord still holds true.
Amen.
It wasn't God's fault this was going on. It was Israel's fault. God had given them promise after promise after promise, and they had turned them down.
Yes,
because even though they were Israelites by the flesh, even though they sat in the Message church, there was nothing in them to believe.
Right.
And it gets down to where there's barely anyone left. It's in Jeremiah 42. Let me just read this to you. And then the captain, let me just skip here a little bit. And all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Sounds pretty noble, doesn't it?
Right.
Let's just keep reading here for
yes,
a little
sir.
Bit. And Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds like what Jesus said, ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
The problem is most times people don't know what they're really asking.
Yeah.
And watch what they keep saying here. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be bad. They might have wanted to left that part out because maybe then they would have been truthful, but they said it.
That's right.
God don't send nobody to hell. I hope you understand that. They send themselves.
Right.
God condemns a man out of his own lips. He doesn't even need to bring anything else because out of a man's own mouth, salvation's, you confess salvation. So if you don't, you're confessing damnation to yourself. Let me keep reading now. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. What might have happened in those 10 days? I tell you what, and you might think different. But had maybe he came back the first day, they might have went with it. Maybe the second day, maybe the third. But they had to wait 10 days. And that gave the devil plenty of opportunity to get in there and let him reason it out a little bit.
Sure.
And I'm sure some of these names that we could go through, Johanan and Jezaniah and all these, began to think about it for a minute. And they began to talk about it. The problem is the prophet didn't need to be around. He could still hear everything.
Yeah.
And he knew what they were talking about. We're going to go down to Egypt. It doesn't really matter what God's going to say about this. We're going to leave and go to Egypt. And the Holy Spirit knew this. He heard it. But God loved Israel anyways.
Uh-huh.
So when they asked, they received.
Right.
If you'll believe it, even if you're really an unbeliever at heart, but if you'll take a little season to believe, God will answer.
Sure.
Oh, he has every man. Show me he answered Balaam in the midst of his hypocrisy because he was sincere enough.
Uh-huh.
He answered Cain when he had a question.
Sure.
The problem is, what did they do once they got the answer?
Amen.
And if you read the rest of Jeremiah, Jeremiah goes and he comes and tells them. And really it breaks down to this. He says, look, if you'll just go with the Chaldeans, you'll be fine. I'll take care of you. They won't destroy you. You'll be able to live and all those things. Just let the Chaldeans come take you because you've left too far out. Now you've got to go in the permissive will.
Right.
God didn't want that. God wanted Israel to be like David. Being a commodity conquering nation, but they had done left that long time ago.
Right.
And they twisted God's hands.
Uh-huh.
It's sad, but you can twist yourself out of a blessing of God.
Sure
can. You make a mess out of things, it don't mean you're not saved or you are saved. That don't have nothing really to do with it, but you're definitely going to lose your blessing.
Right.
And they went through, and Jeremiah told them, he said, look, you need to go. Don't go. And he could have said anywhere. How many knows? He could have said, don't go to Libya. Don't go to Asia. Don't go. But he called out exactly where they were trying to go.
Yeah. Right.
Don't go to Egypt.
Right.
Because you'll die.
Yes.
And not, you know, the next chapter, let's read the response to this, 43:1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men. Here comes the fall, isn't that right? Why were they proud? Because the word of the Lord came, and they thought, we know better. And that's the downfall of any man that stayed lost, and he could not humble himself just to say, Lord, I'm wrong.
Right.
I know I've reasoned this, it sounds like a good idea, but you've brought your word, and I'm willing to say that that's right and I'm wrong. A sinner can't do that. Not if he's thought it through, not if he's got it figured out. He's too smart for God. That's why he can't get saved. Because the wisdom of man is still not as smart as the foolishness of God. And all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, here's their response, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God has not sent thee to say, go not down into Egypt to sojourn there. And he starts framing up a whole case. I wonder where they got that whole case. Probably in those 10 days of sitting around. Saying, you know what? I bet those Chaldeans came and talked to Jeremiah while he was gone those 10 days. I bet they're getting us set up this whole time, because how else would they know? How else would he know that we were going to go to Egypt? And you'll blame the man of God because he knows what's going on in your life, even though he had nothing to do with it. He gets up here and preaches about it, and you act like that's just because he was snooping around, when it was the Holy Spirit loving you and caring for you and telling you not to go that wrong way.
Amen.
How do you get those wrong things? Is you don't act in faith. You're acting in reasoning. And that's what these men had done. Their confession, one chapter ago, it says, Jeremiah, prophet of the Lord. Man, we've got all the confidence in the world that you'll hear from God. We've got a question. What do we do? We'll do whatever you say. Good or bad, doesn't matter. We're going to do it.
Right.
And just in 10 days of reasoning, here come the word of the Lord, perfect what to say. Exactly what to do. Laid out exactly the way that they wanted it. But they couldn't accept it. Mm-hmm. Why? Someone inside couldn't believe the word.
Amen.
What am I most thankful for tonight? Yeah. How hard would it have been to be Jeremiah? Anybody know what Jeremiah thought about it? He said, Lord, no, not me. No, I can't do this. You got to find somebody else. I'm too young. I'm too dumb. I just can't do nothing about it. They're not going to receive me anyways. Why waste my time? And he said it was like fire shut in my bones. I couldn't do anything about it. I was going to blow up if I did it. So I said, Lord, I'll just go ahead. And that's the way we ought to be with God's word. Just don't just blow up. Just say, you know what? This is what I am anyways. I might as well just do it. Well, we're not getting anybody saved. There might only be one more to go. You might have to run through 1,000 unbelievers, but you'll find him.
Amen.
The bride's going to find the rest of the bride, because eternal life passes through the body, and we ought to take this responsibility personal. That God needs to spread his life through me.
Amen.
And I need to be willing vessel to do that.
Right.
Even if they reject you, especially if they reject you. Because look, part of the ministry, actually a lot of the ministry, is preaching to unbelievers. How many knows that?
Amen.
That's part of the third pull.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we just want the good parts. Well, that's not how it works when you deal with God. You either take it all or leave it.
Uh-huh.
And they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. And they went down to Egypt, as we know, and we know what ended up happening to all of them. Exactly what God said would. And here we are in the message of the hour, and I'm bringing it right home just because there ain't no point in dilly-dallying around about it. People thought they knew what the Word said. The Word said exactly what it needed to say, and for this age, exactly what was brought is the perfect interpretation of the Word of God. They've all looked for it. Theologians wanted it. They prayed about it. We need a prophet to come and show us the Word of the Lord. And it laid out exactly from Genesis to Revelation what God wanted to do before the foundation of the world. But they said, no. We can't receive that. We've already got our idea made up. We've already discussed this with the council. We need to go back down to Egypt. We need to go where we thought we got delivered from, but really we're free there.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's what they're doing. Right there. They think, well, it was better when I could, I skip church and just watch football, and our sisters can just cut our hair, and we don't need to wear pants or worry about any of that stuff. And we could, you know, we cut up with the boys a little bit. Yeah, go make your confession later, but it ain't a big deal. You're a bunch of low-down hypocrites. You don't even need to waste your time. Just go ahead and go bury yourself right now, because that's all you're doing. I know it's a gleam picture, but God's given us something that we can be thankful for. Let me read you a few quotes tonight. Let me make sure I finish this one before you get carried away here. What went ye out to see? 1959. God doesn't send you to hell for being a sinner. God sends you to hell because you won't repent and take Christ as your Savior. You refuse to take the right road. You send yourself to torment. You send your own soul to its eternal destination upon the free moral agency of your own convictions. God doesn't send anyone to hell. He never did, and He never will. Men send themselves to hell because they refuse to accept the way of salvation. God, He's long-suffering. He doesn't want any to perish. Never wanted it. We spoke on that hard. If you got something in you that likes judgment, it ain't the Spirit of God. There's something wrong.
Right.
He doesn't want any to perish. Never wanted it. But men rather walk in darkness than walk in light. The reason of it is, they are born in that condition and have no desire to take the light.
Right.
And messengers come from the east and west and north and south and throw barricades, song services, testimonies. We think, what are the barricades of God? All those things we do for God are signs. There's a better life. There's a better life than this sinner life that you're headed. There's a better place than the torments of hell. Song service testimonies preaching across the path of the sinner, and He deliberately walks right through them. Then say that God is responsible. Exactly what they do every time.
Sure.
God is good and full of mercy, and He wouldn't want no one lost. But man wants to be lost because it's his desire.
My.
He refuses to walk in light. That's what makes him be lost. Why was Jeremiah, why were these saints here, or excuse me, the Israelites condemned in this case? It's because they wanted to be lost. Not the way that the world says, oh no, you go up to somebody and say, you want to go to hell. They'll say no. But when you lay out what it means to really go to heaven, and you got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got to die and be born again by the Spirit of God, or you have nothing in you to resurrect you.
Right.
And when they realize, oh, I've got something to give up. Yes, you do. Salvation is the free gift that costs you everything.
Uh-huh.
But once you realize that everything you have is really nothing,
uh-huh.
it's not hard to let go.
Sure.
When you begin to see the pleasures that you thought you had in the world, and then you watch people who can do it more than you can, drink more, can go to pro games all the time, and see how miserable they are, it should do something to us to say, you know what? The devil's just trying to tempt me.
Right.
Because there's no life out there. I don't mean to hit on just one or two, but you can do that with anything that's of the world.
Right.
The devil will always tell you, just one more and you got it.
Right.
Then you're in the clear. Just a little bit bigger house and you're in the go.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit nicer car, oh my, you'll be content. It never works that way.
Nope.
Why? Because everything's falling apart.
Right.
And we in our hearts know that.
Right.
We might try to lie up here, but down here we know that this world is falling apart. That it's all wasting time as far as that goes. The only thing that's worth our time is what we can invest in eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Man wants to be lost. Isn't it such a shameful thing to think of people in that condition? So we should be able to raise our hands and we should be in the complete contrary, that thankful. That God put something in us. Well, we just say amen. Where the word comes and we don't just, well, you know, maybe, no, there's something in us that says it's right. I don't even know. I can't, you know, it goes beyond reason. It goes beyond affections. You know, even your feelings can work against it, but you'll still say, I don't know why. I don't even want to do this, but something on the inside, I just know it's right. And I've got to. I've got to be this. Where'd you get that?
Sure.
Who asked God to put it there? But aren't you grateful He did?
Amen.
Let me read you a few more here. Knoweth it not, 1965. There's five inlets in the spirit. You can't think with your body. You have to think with your spirit. You can't have conscious in your body. It has no mental faculties at all. Your body doesn't. So you have to think with your spirit. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being because reason don't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Reason is what you can make in your mind. If you're asleep or you're out, your body is lying there dead, but your spirit can still reason. There is five senses that controls that inside man. Now to that last man, which is the soul, there's only one sense that controls that, and that is free moral agency's free will to choose or to reject. Wow. Now you see how thankful we ought to be just because of the choices we're able to make.
Amen.
When the Lord came to you, listen to me now, and said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, how happy you should be that you said, amen.
Yes. Amen.
How? It's got to get past affections. Well, Mama did this, so I ought to. Past imaginations, oh my, when I get saved, I'll be a mighty preacher. Past your conscience, well, this is pretty reasonable. You know, I see Acts 28:19 and line up with, or sorry, Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:38. That makes sense. It's got to get way past all of that. So down all the way in the soul, where you just decide, this is what I'm going to do. And there's only one way. Let me read that. I'm going to bring this all together. Faith, Africa Trip Report, 1952. Faith is an element. It's a sense. It's the sixth sense of the human body. It's the one sense. The human soul has two senses. Listen now. Part of a man that has five senses control the human body. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. And the inward man has two senses. That's faith, unbelief. One of them governs.
Amen.
1958, tested faith produces goods. The soul declares two, faith and unbelief. Now, if your faith says tonight that you're going to be healed and you know it, and your faith declares it just the same as your sight says that it's white, it's finished. You've got it. You see what I mean? It's the evidence of things not seen. People who have faith are not afraid. It's said that a coward dies 10,000 deaths when a hero never dies. Somebody who's got faith and believes.
Amen.
So here's what I'm bringing it down to, is we should be so thankful. But Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
Why? How can the grace of God has come, but without faith there's no link to pull that grace into you.
That's right.
But faith will believe the word. How though? Did you buy it? Did you earn it? No, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
That seed of faith that can make your free moral agency choose the word of God. People want to separate free moral agency and predestination, but they're one and the same. For that seed to be in there, it must believe the word. So when you see yourself, come on, believe in the word of God, that it doesn't matter what comes. Comes the world falling apart. Comes every person in the message backsliding. It doesn't matter. Brother Branham raising from the grave and telling you that it was all wrong will not shake this.
Right. Right. Amen. Amen.
Are you that sold out yet? That this message is of God.
Amen.
How? Faith that God put in me. Gave me the faith to believe in the grace of God, amen, which is the only way I could ever be saved. Hallelujah. Oh my. Let's read one more scripture and I'll close on this. Luke chapter 10. I love this story. Luke 10, 38. Let me drink real quick and then. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Did you pull that together yet? Mary had something. Now, I believe Martha had it too, just wasn't quite quick and like Mary had it at the time. But I believe she got it. Amen. You know, the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost without hands laid on. The Samaritans needed hands laid on. It don't really matter. At the end of the day, we all got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
That'll be all right. You know, it's not a big deal. But Mary, at this time, something in her, by her free moral agency, she saw the needs going on. I'm sure she did. I'm sure she could tell that somebody needed a drink here or some food over here or something. But something on the inside said, well, it was beyond reason. It was beyond conscience and affections and all these things. And it said, wait, I need to hear what he's saying.
Amen.
That's when you know people got a revelation about church. Because they're not here to see what somebody else is doing, or just, you know, they look at the preacher about 10 seconds and they're looking at this and trying to find where the nearest clock is before they go into a new building and make sure that they know so they can get out when they need to. I didn't say that for anyone here. I hope that's okay. But it that stuff happens all the time. You know it. But what was the matter? You're Martha. Well, you know, we gotta get this done. We should be doing this now. We know people to be doing that. We're cumbered about and we're very troubled. And that's what will happen if you don't get that one thing needful. That I'm here to hear from Jesus.
Amen.
I'm here to forget about her now. I'm not here to worry about anything. I'm not here to get anything done. How appreciative you ought to be that you don't have to get up here and speak all the time. I'll tell you that right now, because it's nice to just be able to listen to it. Now, I have to do the same thing. I hope you understand that when the preaching goes forth, it's for me too. I have to have my heart open to listen, and I have to get myself out of the way to where you almost feel like two people, one of them speaking, the other one saying, glory to God, that's good.
Sure.
And when I read this scripture, I heard it on the radio too, coming here, and I was like, well, I gotta go there for a little bit. I find myself as Martha too many times. Oh, Lord, we got to get this done. I got to do this. The coming Lord's coming. I got to get on this. I'm like, whoa, slow down, Brother Andrew. You know, I'll throw myself right in there. Slow down for a minute. How about you just go listen to Jesus for a little bit? You know, the devil will make you think prayer is a waste of time. You just get down there and you know, you're thinking about this thing and you're worried about that. And after a while, you just hear the clock ticking. You don't even think about praying. But look, the devil's still trembling. Why do you think he's doing all that stuff? He's doing his best. But that's going to happen every time.
Right.
He's got to come against you because he can't help it. He's too proud. He can't just sit there and watch you trample over his kingdom. He's got to try to do something.
Right.
So he'll. And when you see him getting desperate, that's when you know you're there. You're good. You know, he starts using the stupidest things in the world. And you're like, why in the world did I think that? That's a good sign. You're ready to break through. Just keep ignoring him. Don't listen to him. Talk to the Lord about it. And recognize, why am I here praying?
Right.
I'm here to hear from God.
Amen.
And God told me to do this, and he said he will. And and whatever he's got to say, I'm not going to be like these bunch of hypocrites we just read about in Jeremiah. I'm here to say amen.
Amen.
I'm here to say, Lord, tear me up, left side, up and down. I don't care. I'm here to make it right with you.
Right.
I'm here to be a real Christian. I'm here to be like Mary and just sit at your feet. And I can just listen to your word all day.
Amen.
Let's stand together tonight. A little bit simple, but I hope that was okay. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that. Thank you, Lord. I think it's that. Nope, 229. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just worship now.
Oh, thank you,
oh, praise
you, Lord, for giving to me all thy great salvation.
Oh, it's so great, it's so great.
So
aren't you grateful
for saving my soul? Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise God.
For making me whole. Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name.
For giving.
Aren't you happy tonight?
Oh, thy grace.
worship. If there's anyone who has a need tonight, if you'd like to come forward for prayer, please come forward now. God bless each one. Is anyone else? Praise you. Everyone else? Got a few more. That's fine. Stay in an atmosphere of prayer. Pray for your brother, sister. Believe with them. Pray for one another now. Believe together. Thank you.
God.